Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
No deal. Workers rejecting Kellogg's latest offer. Starbucks workers excited to unionize. The man who fired 900 people in a video. And today on the show, the latest from Humana Healthcare and Policy Matters Ohio. Welcome to the Wednesday, December 8th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. Eric St. Pierre will be rejoining us. He is an associate vice president of Group Medicare at Humana Healthcare, one of the many sponsors of America's Workforce. Humana has dedicated a Group Medicare division, including labor relations representatives and support staff that can assist you with designing retiree medical plans with or without prescription drugs. They work extensively with Taft-Hartley funds, union-sponsored VEBA trusts, and other groups in both the private and public sectors that cover more than 70,000 collectively bargained retirees altogether. Over 600,000. Now, Eric is going to run down what Group Medicare is all about and how extensive and what he sees for 2022. So he'll run that all down as our first guest. Zach Schiller, longtime contributor to the show. Zach is a researcher at Policy Matters Ohio. Website is policymattersohio.org. And we've been linked up with them for many, many years. And he is here to talk about the cutoff of extra federal benefits for unemployed Ohioans. And Ohio is not alone. A lot of red states, in those red states, the governor said, you know what? You're just sitting around collecting federal unemployment benefits. There's a lot of jobs out there. Get off your butt and apply for them. Well, turns out that 6 months after Governor Mike DeWine in Ohio cut those so-called enhanced benefits, these are the federal benefits, pandemic assistance, $300 a week, the Ohio Supreme Court is now examining the decision on legal grounds. Reviewing the separate labor data, however, suggests the decision did very little to prompt jobless Ohioans to get back to work faster. Those who supported the decision, like the Buckeye Institute, say other factors muddied the water, making conclusions hard to draw, but they contest the claim that keeping the $300 payments would have helped the economy. Critics, like Policy Matters Ohio, say it diverted hundreds of millions of federal tax dollars that could have helped Ohio's economy recover from COVID-19. They did some research on this, and the number of filled jobs in the state of Ohio grew just over 1% from June through October, lagging behind the 1.7% growth in the national average, as part of the national average. So, bottom line, not much happened there. Not much happened there. And Policy Matters Ohio is taking the governor on. And like I said, this story has national implications because a number of states, I want to say at least maybe 12, 15 states, did the same thing as the state of Ohio. It actually started in the South, and it just went around the country. So, Zach Schiller is going to run all of that down as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Well, workers at Kellogg's are not going back to work. That's right. No deal. No deal. The union representing around 1,400 striking Kellogg's workers in Omaha and across the country said members overwhelmingly rejected the latest contract offer by the company. Members of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers International Union have been on strike since October 5th. The strike has affected Kellogg's plants in Omaha, Battle Creek, Michigan, that's the headquarters, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Memphis, Tennessee. Now, the tentative agreement, which was announced on December 2nd, offered a five-year contract. It was put to a vote by the union just a couple of days ago, on Sunday, December 5th. Dan Osborne is president of Baker's Local 50. He said the membership has spoken, and they want to keep fighting corporate greed, and that's what we're going to do. Now, his local represents about 500 workers in Omaha. The issue is the two-tiered wage system offered by Kellogg's. The rejected agreement would have included a 3% raise for longtime Kellogg's workers and other raises for what they call transitional employees, depending on their years of service. The deal would have provided the newer workers with a path toward becoming legacy Kellogg's employees. The proposal also enhanced dental and vision benefits for everybody. Osborne said, if you're very low in seniority of a transitional employee, and you do the math, it could take you 8, maybe 9 years to move up. Although it does provide a clear pathway, we think they should be doing better. So, workers are still on strike outside the Omaha plant, including veteran employees. Dan Lawyers worked for the plant for 9 years. He said, we're going to get everybody where they deserve to be. Legacy workers who stand shoulder to shoulder with transitional employees inside the plant are standing up for them outside the picket line. Lawyers said, I think it sends a message that the union is one mind, one voice, and we will not leave anybody behind. Boy, that's what you call solidarity, huh? Stephanie Sterling has worked at the plant since 1989. And she was hoping to retire in 3 weeks. And she can't until there's a signed contract. It's not about me. It's about we. We are united about this decision to make things right for all of us, she said. And this is a woman ready to retire. Well, in a statement, Kellogg said it was very disappointed with the union vote. Company spokesperson Chris Bonner said the tentative agreement included no concessions or takeaways. We have made every effort to reach a fair agreement, including making 6 offers to the union throughout the negotiations, all of which have included wage and benefits increases for every employee. It appears the union created unrealistic expectations for our employees. Kellogg's also said the work stoppage has left it with no choice but to hire permanent replacement employees. Wow. See what happens on that one. Very similar to what happened at John Deere. It took 3 tries. I don't know if this I think is the second one so far. But workers are standing strong. And I'm telling you, solidarity forever. A group of quality insurance testers and developers at Activation Blizzard Studio, Raven Software, responsible for Call of Duty Warzone, have staged a walkout over terminated testers. This is the 3rd recent worker action at Activation Blizzard. The demonstrating employees have demanded that all quality assurance testers, including those laid off, receive full-time position offers. So far, 30% of the testers have had their contracts terminated right after testers have engaged in 5 weeks of overtime. All of those terminated, all of them, were in good standing with the company. The demonstrating employees protested that some of the employees terminated had relocated to Wisconsin without assistance from Activation Blizzard, anticipating a return to in-person work. Apparently, the quality assurance testers are among the most exploited workers in game development. That's a big issue. Gaming. And I know the Communication Workers of America have started a drive. In fact, next time we get Frank Matthews on the show, which is going to be next Tuesday, we'll get an update on how well they're working that organizing drive, because these workers are just worked to death. And they're not the only company under fire for layoffs. Get this one. Better.com. Better.com, which is a financial tech mortgage company, which just received $750 million in financing to go public, announced over Zoom that it was laying off more than 900 employees before the holidays. How about that? Merry Christmas from Scrooge. The CEO is Vishal Garg. Vishal claimed the layoffs were for market efficiency and productivity reasons. Well, guess what? Fortune has reported that Garg said the employees were stealing from colleagues and customers by being unproductive and working short hours. He was criticized last year for sending a staff email referring to employees as too damn slow and a bunch of dumb dolphins. Where did that come from? You're a bunch of dumb dolphins. Further claiming that employees were embarrassing him. Included in the layoffs was the diversity, equity, and inclusion recording team. And some of the workers are speaking out. One said, okay, if the company is doing that bad, why don't you lay yourself off since you seem to be driving it into the ground? Following a wave of coffee shop unionizations in the greater Boston area, employees at three Somerville coffee shops have requested voluntary recognition from management to unionize with the New England Joint Board of Unite Here. The employees at Diesel Cafe, Block Cafe, and the Forge Baking Company, which share management, are seeking structural changes like better frameworks for raises, sick leave, time off, and management communication. The organizing committee represents about 50 employees across the shops. By the way, the National Labor Relations Board will tally votes tomorrow in an election to form the first union of Starbucks workers at three of its New York stores. This is in the Buffalo area. They've been organizing for quite some time. Got a comment here from Michelle Eisen. Michelle's a member of Starbucks Workers United. That's the organizing committee. She said, we're still completely confident that come tomorrow, we'll have the first unionized Starbucks out of more than 9,000 in the United States, which is very, very exciting. Starbucks workers accused the company for employing intimidation and union-busting tactics, including sending high-level executives to stores and trying to flood the stores, pushing to organize with new employees. Meanwhile, the company has asked workers to vote against the effort. Yeah, we're going to spend some time on this issue because we'll wait for the vote tomorrow. On Friday, our labor expert, Joyce Goldstein, she's been involved in labor law for 40 years, and she joined the show almost 2 years ago, and she's going to dissect what happened, well, what we expect to happen tomorrow at the National Labor Relations Board. Also, as we reported some weeks ago, there's going to be another union vote at Amazon in Bessemer, Alabama, because pretty much that election was screwed up by the company. So we're going to touch on those two issues with Joyce Goldstein on Friday. Right now, though, I have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Eric St. Pierre of Humana Healthcare.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. I was mentioning that story in the opening of the show about Better.com, a digital mortgage lender. They got a lot of public money, $750 million, and the CEO decided to fire, via Zoom, 900 employees. He said they weren't working hard enough. Well, guess what? I didn't realize this. I saw another story just a minute ago. Apparently, some of the workers recorded that Zoom and then sent it out. So this guy is not getting a very good reputation. Vishal Garg is his name, and this happened just a couple of days ago. He summoned the employees in a video call and said, "Hey, guess what? I know Christmas is right around the corner, but we have to let you go." He said they just weren't working hard enough. Just amazing. Just amazing. All right, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, also a sponsor. I'm talking about Humana Healthcare, and Eric St. Pierre is an associate vice president of Group Medicare, and he's been on the show a couple of times. He's going to give us a little refresher course on what they do, and we also have a special guest that will be joining us on the show today. Eric, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today?
Hey there. I'm great. Thanks for having us come back.
Good, good, good. You know, before we get to our other guest today, give me a little rundown on what you do as associate vice president there at Humana.
Yeah, so my role is to work with the rest of the great folks here at Humana in our efforts to support groups who still support a retiree group health care program for those who work for them for their careers, helping make sure we deliver the best quality of health care for those retirees and sustain those benefits for as long as possible so that retirees can have the comfortable retirement that they earned in through their working life.
And how long have you been involved in the group Medicare division?
Oh, I've been involved in this space for about 20 years. I've been here at Humana for a little over 4 years now. I'm very fortunate to join Humana. You know, I came here from the consulting space because I worked with Humana and everyone else in this industry, and it was very evident to me that Humana was by far the best and really cared for and took care of their clients, the retirees. Particularly in the labor space, which is specifically where Nate supports us and helps make sure we're delivering for those who count on us.
Okay, why don't you introduce for our listeners your special guest. Nate Whiteman is his name. I'm going to let you do the honor there. Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. So Nate is one of three labor relations representatives we have in our group Medicare segment. Like me, they specifically work in this space, supporting those who support group retiree health care for folks. And Nate's responsibility is to specifically work with his union brothers and sisters and the groups who support those retiree health care programs to make sure we're delivering for them. Sometimes that work doesn't entail what we do specifically. It's helping them connect dots elsewhere. But Nate's a great guy. Nate joined our team about almost 3 years ago now, and Nate's been he's not from the industry. He's from that space and really makes sure that we deliver for them. So I'm glad to have Nate here so that he can give his perspective on why what we do is meaningful and where we bring value and help people out.
Very good. Well, Nate, welcome to America's Workforce. I guess you're no stranger. You've been with BMA for a number of years. BMA, of course, is the producer of the show, America's Workforce, which has been actually in operation since 1993. And so I understand you also worked with the Union Sportsmen Alliance. Is that right, Nate?
I did. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. I'm in Cleveland, and yes, I was originally with BMA back in the early 2000s, and you and I had done some work together in those days. So
It's a great organization, and if you still have some clout over there at the Sportsman Alliance, let's set up another segment, because they are definitely a great organization, and I appreciate what you've done to kind of put them on the map here. Let's talk about your role, though, at Humana.
Sure.
National Labor Relations Rep. All right, talk to me about it. What's your day like, Nate?
Big title. So basically, with the being a National Labor Relations Rep, I'm able to use what I've learned over the past 20 years, starting with BMA and then filtering over to the Union Sportsman's Alliance. A lot of knowledge that I've acquired and became attractive to Humana, who is kind of one of a kind. They're the only carrier that we know or compete with that has a dedicated labor relations team. And as Eric said, I don't come from the industry. I come from the union lifestyle. So it's been great. Love working with Humana. They're a great company, but we've really been pushing the envelope on tightening labor relations, getting labor to understand what we have to offer, and taking it to them as a union member, not an insurance salesman. So it's made a big difference.
Yeah. Well, you're speaking to the brothers and sisters there, and then since you're one of them, I think that makes it a little easier path to connect. No doubt about that. I know you work with Taft-Hartley Funds, VEBA Trust. Can you get into some of that for our listeners?
You know, that's a little more on the technical side than I'm used to, but basically, you know, our department works primarily with a lot of the building trades groups. We go after groups that do still offer group Medicare or group benefits for their retirees. We also have a large segment that works with the individual side. It's not in our department, but since there are a lot of unions, locals or internationals that have not being able to keep the retirees on their plans, we have a solution for them too. I think what's been important to me to be able to really push the Humana agenda, I'll call it, is that we seem to have the solution for everybody. We want to be the union's answer to retiree healthcare, and we do a really good job at it.
I like that. Well, Eric, that's got to make you pretty happy since you're the go-to group here, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So Nate's totally embedded in our organization and, you know, and this is specifically why he and his peers joined the organization or why we're thrilled to have them, because, you know, our goal is to be a great partner and help out the labor space and folks in the labor space. We're here to help make sure, you know, specifically what we do is delivering in, you know, great group retiree healthcare benefits. And as Nate says, we have a whole other part of this organization who supports on the individual side, but specifically, you know, Nate, day in and day out, Nate's working with folks in that space. Sometimes our conversations aren't about this. Sometimes they're about how we can help them out with other stuff. And it just feels good. It's a good way to do business, and it's a good way to be a good partner and make sure we're delivering something of value to folks every day.
Eric, how many do we have enrolled right now in Humana's Group Medicare?
So our group Medicare segment, we're going to be up over 600,000 members this year, and we have over 600 clients. So they span nationwide throughout the entire country, and they range from groups as small as 10 retirees enrolled all the way up to 160,000 plus retirees enrolled for each client. So we have a pretty wide span, and as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we support groups in the public sector, private sector, Viva Trust, you know, all over the country. Those who are still invested in delivering a group retiree healthcare benefit, which, you know, quite honestly is a lot less of the private sector. But you know, there's still some of those who committed that to particularly to some collectively bargained groups and are owning up to those responsibilities.
Did I hear that right? From 10 retirees to 160,000? Was that right?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. Some of the groups that still support group retiree health care are usually quite often they're some of the larger state sponsored plans, either legally or morally implied. If you think of your retired teachers or other groups, some are Viva Trust that came out of restructuring but as part of that there were funds set aside to make sure that the retirees had their group retiree health care covered for the span of as long as they were alive. So our largest client is one that's a state sponsored retiree health care plan.
And there you go.
A very big one.
Good, good, good. All right, I have to take a quick break here. We have two people on our live line today. Eric St. Pierre, Associate Vice President, Group Medicare at Humana, and joining him is Nate Whiteman. Nate is the National Labor Relations Rep for Humana. We'll talk more. A lot of the building trades involved. We'll run that down next. Later in the show, Zach Schiller, on behalf of Policy Matters Ohio, will be talking about the cutoff of those jobless benefits, the federal benefits. What effect did they have, if any? That's coming up later. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
To Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, we're available on 6 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always like those 5-star ratings. By the way, another plug here for the Alliance for American Manufacturing, one of the many new sponsors of America's Workforce, AmericanManufacturing.org. Got to give a plug to their Made in America Holiday Gift Guide, which was just released a couple of weeks ago. It's the 2021 Made in America Gift Guide, and it lists 100 companies from all 50 states, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico that make their products locally. So the whole idea here is to shop local if you can, or shop USA. And a lot of this has to do with the supply chain that's holding up a lot of gifts, especially on the West Coast. 40% of our products come in from the West Coast, which just tells you it's all coming from China. So support Made in the USA, and you can do that right now by going to AmericanManufacturing.org. Let's go back to our live line. Joining us is Eric St. Pierre, who's Associate Vice President, Group Medicare at Humana. And we have a special guest, and that would be Mr. Nate Whiteman, National Labor Relations Rep for Humana. He's had that position for 3 years. And Nate, we record the show at Ironworkers Local 17 right outside downtown Cleveland, Ohio. It's my understanding they're one of your clients. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have Local 17. We've had many Cleveland clients within the building trades and then a lot with the iron workers nationally.
Good, good, good. Can you give us a little rundown? Obviously, you know, we do a lot for the trades. Maybe you can give us a few of the clients that you're working with right now. Go ahead.
Sure, sure. So a lot of our plans are at the local level. We do have a national plan with the sheet metal workers, which includes 33 right here in Ohio and Cleveland especially. But most all trades, laborers, sheet metal workers, UA, many UA locals. The plans are either at the local level or there are multiple types of plans. Some are at the local level, some are regional, and others are at the national level. We've got good clients in all facets of that.
So it's not a one size fits all. I mean, obviously everybody has a certain wants and desires in what they want in that group Medicare plan. Maybe you can give us some details on what they're asking for right now. I know this is a really changing environment daily, so go ahead.
It is. It is. I think and generally what they're looking for is to, you know, keep their forefathers comfortable. You know, those folks that build our unions, keep them on a plan, keep them on as rich a plan as they possibly can. Things are tough these days. You know, the money's spent a lot more wisely. But what we have to offer are top level services for all the plans. They're just looking to keep these retirees happy. Which they should, because without them, we wouldn't be where we're at now.
I see some of the plans have prescription drugs. Is that a they cover prescription drugs? Do they do a lot of the locals are demanding that right now, or what?
They're keeping it as much as they possibly can. A good Medicare Advantage plan will be full circle, everything from prescription drug to the regular coverage, plus some other options. You know, free gym memberships. Making sure that they're getting the food they need when they come out of the hospital. Eric can really be detailed on this, but you know, being on the labor side of it, I'm just looking out for my brothers and sisters and of the 65 plus age folks and saying, hey, we've got everything you need. Any plan that we work on has to be as good as they have or better, to even want to talk to them. So we're helping them treat those folks right.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you want to add to that? He indicated that you might have some more information on what he was prompting there.
Yeah. What I think Nate's talking about is something we've talked about in some of the prior shows around, you know, what do we really do? We're here to help support, you know, providers, caregivers, and retirees themselves. Everybody, you know, when we have a program in place like we do for Iron Workers Local 17, we're supporting those retirees, their caregivers who are often their family members, their doctors, everyone who's helping make sure they stay as healthy as possible. And we're providing support in addition to the services and the benefits in the plan to make sure they're getting the best care they can. That's really the bottom line. There's no smoke and mirrors. And, you know, not surprisingly, but if you're doing that, if you're really helping people stay healthier and you're helping them get the care they need and you're helping them when they want to, you know, when they're healthy and want to stay healthy, get a fitness program so they can do that. Or when they need some additional help with their diabetes or their high blood pressure, making sure that they're staying as healthy as possible, make sure it's under control. When you do that, it actually helps control the cost of the plan too, which sustains benefits for a long time.
So it's
a real simple cycle that we've perpetuated over a long period of time to make sure that we're able to sustain those benefits for folks at a price that, you know, the group oversees and make sure is being managed appropriately.
Great healthcare at a great price. I get it. You know, I'm glad you brought that up about the gym memberships, because so many people say we don't have a healthcare system in America. We have a sick care. You know, you just all of a sudden wait until you go to the hospital, or you just prolong things. And then at that time, that's when it gets really, really expensive. So by mentioning the fitness plans, the gyms and all that, are you getting a lot of buy into that right now, Eric? Let's start there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And Nate touched off on it, because I'm sure he's heard of from it too. You know, when you go out and talk to retirees, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to do that in my past, and and you talk to these groups and you hear what's meaningful to them, you're spot on. It's not just about paying claims for you know, when you have to go to the doctor. That's old mentality that you know, as you pointed out, really isn't helping people stay healthier and help address their holistic needs. You know, quite honestly, some of it's additionally, you know, outside of healthcare. You know, the big buzz terminology is social determinants of care. And really what that means is just helping, you know, sometimes we go into retirees' homes and help make sure that they have a healthy place to live. Mm-hmm. They're able to, you know, to they don't have throw rugs on the floor and a potential situation to fall and slip and fall and hurt themselves. Or, you know, make sure that they have enough food and they're able to get to their care, getting to and from, you know, healthcare. So you're right. It's really, that's what we're doing. We're really approaching and helping make sure that the whole of the person is staying as healthy as possible. The fitness program is a great example. And folks who are healthy enough, particularly retirees, you know, they want to get out. They want to be able to be social. They want to stay healthy. And we have quite a few folks who use it. And it's a free fitness program. And, you know, it's a lot of YMCAs throughout the country and a lot of other fitness programs that's included as part of our program.
I like it. Nate, I want to ask you here, what do you see for next year? I mean, there's just a couple of weeks left in this year, 2021. I'm sure a lot of people like to get this pandemic behind us and move on with our lives. But I'm just wondering, you've been busy. You've been working this for 3 years. What's your gut telling you for what lies ahead?
You know, I think people are going to be real happy to be able to have face-to-face meetings, which is a big part of what I do. The past year has been good. It's been trying as far as to communicate with folks. I was assessing my plane rides. 2 years ago, I had 120 flights. Last year, I had two. So, you know, these people are starting to meet face-to-face. It comes back and shows a real brotherhood, sisterhood, where these people have like-minded things they like to do together, not just meet as far as their boards, but they really interact. You know, like you and I know, being on the inside of the union world, it's a way of life. It's not just a job. It's how these people live, and getting back to that's going to be great. We've got a lot of prospects coming up. Especially out west, we're really going to be hitting California really hard this year.
Good.
Or this next year. So we're busy. We're very busy.
Just stay away from the wildfires, okay?
yes.
It can get pretty crazy out there, no doubt. All right. Gentlemen, this has been really interesting. I really appreciate both of you joining America's Workforce today. Eric St. Pierre, Associate Vice President, Group Medicare, and Nate Whiteman, longtime member of BMA, producer of America's Workforce, also the Labor Citizen. Got to give the Labor Citizen a plug here. And for the last 3 years, Nate has been a national labor relations rep for Humana. Gentlemen, I'm going to wrap it up on that note. And Eric, anybody listening right now, or Nate, or what, we want to throw a phone number, a website, an email. Give me the rundown here.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate that. So feel free, anyone who wants to have any discussions with me, Nate, or hear anything about what we're doing, feel free to call me at 860-841-7233. Our website's humana.com. Obviously, you can go there and get any information. But we're always glad to have any chat. It's very similar to what we just did with you this morning, with anybody about what we can do to help them out with group retiree healthcare or any other topic, if we can be of a service. I just want to end by wishing everyone a really happy and healthy holiday. And to your point, hopefully 2022 will be when we can turn the corner. And like Nate said, everyone finally get back to getting together and experiencing each other in person as much as possible.
Couldn't happen soon enough. Nate, any parting words for our listeners?
Sure. Same here. I'm right here in Cleveland. As you know, my number's 440-867-8229. Email is nwhiteman@humana.com. Love to talk to you, anybody that wants to talk about group benefits. But again, my role is on the relationship side, just to make sure that we've got what the client or potential client would need before we really push them off to the sales folks. We want to have these relationships long lasting. Again, I'm a union brother, almost 20-year, over 20-year member of IUPAT DC6 right here in Cleveland. So, thank you for having me.
You got it. Well, gentlemen, you take care. Best of the holiday season. I'm sure we'll do a whole lot more in 2022, which is just right around the corner. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, Zach Schiller on behalf of Policy Matters Ohio.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while for this gentleman. He's the research director at Policy Matters Ohio. Website is policymattersohio.org. And his name is Zach Schiller. And he's been with the organization for quite some time, doing a lot of good research. And today's topic is the jobless benefits that were cut off for many Ohioans. And this happened nationally. Many red states where they had governors saying, you know what? You don't need these jobless benefits. There's a lot of jobs out there. If we cut them off, you're going to go to work. Well, that really didn't happen. Hey, Zach, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
So talk to me about what happened here in the state of Ohio. DeWine, the governor, followed many other governors saying that the $300 a week was a waste of money because the federal government was paying people to stay at home and they weren't looking for a job. Well, apparently not too many people were motivated by that. Talk to me about it. Go ahead.
Well, Mike DeWine cut off the $300 a week additional benefits that more than a couple of 100,000 Ohioans had been receiving effective in late June. And so what it meant was that essentially there were 10 weeks where unemployed Ohioans did not receive that amount. And I think while we don't have the exact figure, it certainly cost at least half a billion dollars in money that otherwise would have gone into Ohio's economy. So this really hurt Ohio businesses because it meant that people didn't have that money to spend. And so far from doing what Mike DeWine said it would, this was actually not a good thing for the Ohio economy at all. But the real issue is that what happened to these folks? Were they, in fact, not going back to work because of their unemployment benefits? And I think the clear answer is no. Let me read you two headlines from the two largest news organizations in Ohio. One is from the Columbus Dispatch from December 1st, and it says, "Loss of extra pandemic unemployment benefits did little to bring Ohioans back to work." Mm-hmm. Another is from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and it says, "Did cutting off $300 a week in unemployment benefits force Ohioans back to work? No, it did not." So you don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of the two largest news organizations in the state of Ohio. But in fact, there's a lot of data on it as well. The states, there are, I think, about two dozen or more states that cut off these benefits. In fact, many of them cut off other benefits beyond the $300 a week that DeWine did. What happened to employment in those states compared to those that kept the benefits going? Well, basically, there was very little difference. And so we can see that there wasn't much of an effect. Of course, there are some number of individuals who that's not true of. But the broad situation was that this did not force people back to work. And what makes it also kind of unfortunate is that now DeWine and the other people who were so busy talking about how this was going to bring everybody back to work are saying, oh, no, that's not what we said, which is just incorrect. So, you know, you can go back and look at the press release from May when he announced this. That was the clear objective. That's what they said it would do, and it didn't do it.
So we're essentially talking about $60 a day, you know? I mean, $300 a week, that's $60 in a five-day week. And, I mean, it's not that much money, but it's money, as you indicated, that would be pumped into the economy. And when you go over, you said it was 10 weeks then? 10 weeks of...
Yes, right. From June 26th till the first, just about Labor Day, essentially.
So that's $3,000 from one individual that's not being pumped into the economy. And this is money that they would be spending on food, groceries, could be rent, things that they need. So obviously this didn't work out. Your data.
Now there is, I should mention, you know, there is still pending a case in the Ohio Supreme Court on this. Former Attorney General Mark Dan brought a case on behalf of some unemployed Ohioans saying that DeWine, that this wasn't something that could be cut off that way, that state law says that the state has to take these benefits. And he did, he lost at the trial court level, but he won at the appeals court. And that was stayed, and so the Ohio Supreme Court is still considering this. So it's still quite possible that they could decide that these benefits have to be paid retroactively.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it may not happen. We can't rely on the Ohio Supreme Court to do that. It may well not, but it is still a pending action. It probably won't be determined for many months.
Uh-huh. I understand there's a bill in the state Senate, in the Ohio State Senate, that would require the General Assembly to pre-approve of future federal benefits. You have any details on that?
Yes, there's a bill. It's Senate Bill 228, and we would certainly urge everyone, all your listeners, to call up their representatives and state senators and tell them to oppose this bill. Basically, as you said, the bill would say that in future, if the federal government should approve benefits like those that were cut off or the other benefits, that instead of it just flowing through to Ohio, the General Assembly would have to first approve it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a really bad idea. As it was last year, some of these benefits didn't flow quite as quickly as they should. And, you know, when this happens, we need these benefits. And state law right now basically says that with some perfunctory moves, they'll just flow. So why should we be taking the position of saying the General Assembly ought to approve it? Partly, I think this is just the battle between some of the conservative Republicans and Mike DeWine, and they're interested in making him look bad. So thankfully, this legislation has not gone too far yet. It got a couple of hearings in committee, but it hasn't advanced further, and I'm hoping that that's what will happen to it. But in the meantime, it would be good to make sure of that by calling the state senators in particular and saying this isn't a good idea.
Again, that's Senate Bill 228 in the state of Ohio. This battle over benefits is not new. Zach, I recall many conversations, and there's been a push to, now what we're talking about today are federal benefits. This is part of, I believe, the American Rescue Plan, the $300 a week. When it comes to state benefits, there's been a battle to whittle those down. Where are we in the state of Ohio when it comes to, say you lose your job, you go on unemployment compensation. Where are we with that? Because I know they've been trying to whittle that down.
Well, there's been a long time discussion about what to do to improve the State of the Ohio Trust Fund, which has been among the worst funded among the, in the country. And there's been oftentimes a move backed by some business interests, the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, to slash benefits, to reduce, for instance, the 26 weeks that you're eligible for to a lower amount. And thankfully, we've been able to fend that off. I think there will be further discussion of that next year. I think what really needs to happen is we need to have a better funded plan. Employers have been paying taxes on only the first $9,000 in wages, which is a ridiculously low amount compared to the rest of the country. That hasn't gone up in 25 years. And so we'll probably hear more about that. I think that one other issue that your listeners might be interested in is Ohio has among the most stringent tests, earnings tests in the country to receive unemployment benefits. Next year, you can work 32 hours a week at the minimum wage, and if you're laid off, you will not be eligible for unemployment benefits. You have to make next year $298 a week on average for at least 20 weeks. And that works out to be one of the third or fourth highest amounts in the country. This needs to change. We're excluding more than 500,000 Ohio workers from benefits because of this stringent earnings test. And, you know, it means that if you're a minimum wage worker, you make $10, $11, $12 an hour, you have to work way, way more than a high-priced lawyer or others with high earnings to get benefits. Where's the fairness in that?
There is none. None at all. Another question.
Yeah, well, we're
here.
Hoping that will at least come up and we'll get some, maybe the legislators will consider something on that issue because, essentially we're saying if you're making 10 bucks an hour or you're making the minimum wage, you're not as entitled to benefits as people who make a lot more.
Yeah.
And, that's just ridiculous.
Doesn't make any sense. None at all. Just in wrapping up here, I know you keep in touch with other states and what happened in Ohio. Again, Zach Schiller is joining us on behalf of Policy Matters Ohio. And bottom line is when Governor Mike DeWine cut off federal benefits for unemployed Ohioans in June, in other words, 10 weeks they had coming, $300 a week, that's $3,000. There was virtually no effect on the employment rate in the state of Ohio. What about other states? I mean, I'm sure you talk to a lot of people. What are you hearing? A similar situation or what?
Yeah, I think that, there's been a good bit of research conducted by academics on what happened. And by and large, their conclusion has been that there wasn't much of an effect, or to the degree there was any modest effect, it was way, way overwhelmed by the amount of benefits that people lost. And, there were $11 billion in these benefits paid out in Ohio over the year and a half that they were there. Think about that. And the economists say that for every dollar in unemployment benefits that's paid out, it has a multiplier effect. It circulates throughout the economy, and it actually produces $1.61 worth of economic activity. And that's because, as you mentioned, people spend these benefits, and that then allows all of the places where they spend the money to hire people or to give them more hours. And so there's a beneficial effect on the economy. This is a well-known effect, and it shows that beyond protecting families, the other key element of unemployment insurance is the protection that it provides to the larger economy. It basically sets a floor, and it means that we don't see consumer demand fall through it. And so we lost that, and it hurt the economy far from helping it. And this was true not only in Ohio, but in other states as well, even more so in many of them, because many of those governors cut off a lot of other benefits beyond the one that DeWine cut.
Mm-hmm. Sad situation, but that's the reality of the world we live in today. All right, Zach, I'm going to leave it on that note. PolicyMattersOhio.org, great research group. They have offices in Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio. You take care, my brother. Best of the holiday season to you and the staff over there, and we'll probably talk in the new year, okay?
Great. To you as well. Have a good holiday season.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the latest from the United Auto Workers and the fight to get prevailing wage back in Michigan. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.